All right, so we're on. I know you can't tell, as usual. We're on Kuf Vav. What you have in front of you is Kuf Vav Amud Beis and Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph. Kuf Vav Amud Beis is the one. Kuf Zayin is the one with the Gemara on top. We're not doing that one. We're starting with the other side. So just a couple of things. Number one, just for you to know. Basically, what we did last time, does anybody remember what we did last time? We talked about Lachashin Tzach Gufa and Chabalah. That was the Gemara right before this. In other words, we did about a daf last time, now we're going to do a daf this time, so that's two. It's they're one after the other. The only catch is that Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, you don't have in front of you, it's just there's two lines of the Mishnah on the bottom. So if you look at the sheets in front of you, the source sheets, so I have the beginning of that Mishnah. So that's the beginning of the Mishnah over here on the top of the source sheet.
Can you have another source sheet?
A source sheet?
Is there a spare? Is there a spare source sheet? People could share. So at the top of the source sheet, it says Talmud Bavli Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, right? So it says Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Atzad Sipor Lemigdal Utzvi Labayis Chayav. On the top of the source sheet. Mishnah says, first they quote Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Hatzad Tzipur Lemigdal. Tzad is the melacha of trapping, right? It's one of the 39 melachos, trapping animals. So if you trap a bird inside of a tower, so the tower here is really like a small tower. It's not like a huge tower where the bird's going to fly up and down. It's a small tower, almost like a cage, more like a cage than a tower. More like a closet, I guess you would say.
Doesn't tzad mean hunt?
Yes, but hunting and trapping obviously are connected. Here it means to trap. There's no act of hunting. It's the trapping that's the malacha. But you're right, a tzayad is a hunter. Tzad sipur lemigdal utzvi labayis chayav. So if you trap a bird inside of a closet, let's say, or a deer inside of a house, you're going to be chayev. Why the difference between a bird and a deer? The size. A bird inside of a... the assumption here is that a bird inside of a closet is caught, but a bird inside of a house, not necessarily caught, right? Whereas a deer inside of a closet definitely would be caught, but you'd have a challenge getting him in there. But inside a house, he is considered caught. V'chachamim armim, no, tzipor lamigdal. And now we're going to go into the Gemara. Tzipor lemigdal, and in the top of Kuf Vav Amud Beis, which is what you have in front of you, utzvi legina ulechatzer lebibarin chayav. They say that you're right. A bird has to be caught inside of a closet, inside of a migdal, but a tzvi, even if it's caught in a garden or in a courtyard or any kind of enclosure, a bibar is kind of like. It's a type of enclosure which is more like a stable, right? Or more like a stable. Those are all ways of catching the deer, right? So that means that what are they adding, by the way? What are they saying?
Even outside,
right? They're saying even a larger area. You not even just a house. Even a larger area. Even if you catch them in some kind of big garden. Rabbi Shimon Golmei Omer Lo Kol Abibarin Shavin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, I agree with you, Chachamim, but it depends on the bibar. If it's a really, really big bibar, it's a really, really big enclosure, then that's not considered seda. If it's a smaller one, then that is considered seda.
Would it matter if there's the ease of escape? Like a bird, yes. If there's an open window?
Yes, the Gemara is going to get into that, into some of the details.
Wouldn't Chachamim agree with him? Like, what if you enclose an entire country, like a really, really large space? Of course, that's
yeah. No, the likelihood, and the Gemara is going to get into it, is the Gemara is going to get into whether or not Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is disagreeing with the Chachamim, or whether the Chachamim would disagree with Rabbi Gamliel. With Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara is going to get into that. And then they set down a general rule. Zeh klal mechusar tzeda pater sheinu mechusar tzeda chayav. Welcome. This is a general rule that when you have a case of what's called mechusar tzeda, Rashi says shekashe litofso sham, where it's a situation where the deer, where the animal, any animal, is hard to catch, then that's called mechusar tzeda. Catchier means like the human being, like for you to actually get your hands on him. If it's hard for you to get your hands on him, then that's not considered trapped. If it's easy to get your hands on him, then that's considered trapped. What?
Even in an enclosed space.
Well, the definition of the enclosed space, which is considered seita, is an enclosed space where you can now get your hands on him. The Gemara is going to go more deeply into what exactly that means, or at least it's going to give us some criteria.
So you say if it's hard, then it's not the melacha.
If it's still hard to catch the animal.
Oh, once it's in the space.
Then that's not considered a trap. Because you can't get it.
I thought it was hard to get it
in. The point of tzeda is not to trap an animal. The point of tzeda is for you to get your hands on the animal. So first you trap it, and then you get your hands on it. If it can still get away from you, then that's not considered a trap. Okay? So now we're going to the Gemara. Tanan Hasam. Ein sadin dage mina bibarin biyom tov ve'nosnim lifneim mezonos. Okay, so they quote a Mishnah from Beitza. How do I know it's a Mishnah, by the way?
None.
Two nuns. How do I know it's from Beitza? You guys probably don't have it. The little bays. I don't know if you have the hyperlink that goes to the Mesorah Shas.
I'm pressing it and pressing it, but nothing's
yeah. So it goes to the Mesorah Shas on the top. It says Beitza Kaf Gimel Amud Beis. That's where the Mishnah is from. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to trap fish. You're not allowed to go fishing on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Well, it says here on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to trap fish even in a bibar, even in like, that's basically, in a pond, let's say. Not a pond, but yeah, a fish pond. Basically, even, not talking about going to the ocean. I'm talking about a fish pond, a place where fish live. You're not allowed to go fishing in a fish pond, on Yom Tov, and you're not even allowed to throw food in front of them. You're not even allowed to throw food in front of them. Aval, tzadin chayevo, finosne with neemazonis. However, you are allowed to catch wild animals or birds, and you can put food, of course, in front of them. What are we talking about catching wild animals? We're not talking about catching wild animals as in going into the forest. We're talking about catching wild animals in a bibar. Right, who have already been somewhat trapped already before Yom Tov, right? Because that's the situation we're talking about.
Anything,
right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. No. This is Yom Tov. This is Yom Tov. Say if you can't.
Food to the fish.
Yeah.
How do you get away with
attachment? Great. So that's actually something that I was wondering about, and I had planned to look it up before Shabbos, before the Shir, and I actually didn't get a chance to. So let's see if we can work it out over the course of the Gemara, because that's actually one of the things that was bothering me.
They're not eating their bread, they're eating their sins.
Right. I have a feeling I know what the answer is, and the answer is that we're not throwing it to the fish. I have a feeling that that's what the answer is. But there are other issues that come up because actually I know somebody who likes to take his extra challah on Shabbos afterwards and he takes it to the park and he throws it in front of the birds.
Yeah, that's because of the mon.
So I think there's going to be an answer to that one as well.
It's a scholar because they ate the mon.
Fine. I think there's going to be an answer to that as well.
If you do it not for trapping.
Right, I think that's going to be the answer. Yeah. I think that's going to be the answer.
I think so.
The other is for birds you can, it's for fish you can't.
Why is that the third Shabbos?
You're right. This is Yom Tov, what?
No, why is it taking a cholet to the park, Tzorach Shabbos?
Who said it's Tzorach Shabbos?
Well, you can't carry it.
No, like here in Ranana.
He still needs to be the Tzorach Shabbos. You can't just carry it.
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can carry anything that isn't the Tzorach Shabbos.
Are you talking about from a Muktzah perspective?
No, from a carrying perspective, even with an Erev.
Of course.
This is talking about Yom Tov, anyway.
You shouldn't carry
this is talking about Yom Tov, but even when we're talking about Shabbos, there's an area of why.
What he's saying is on Shabbos, you shouldn't carry things you have no use for on Shabbos.
That's Muktzah,
but first of all, are we talking about Muktzah or are we talking about Tam? And he obviously has a need for it. He wants to throw it to the birds. He wants to feed the birds.
No, Paul's talking about Tam. Okay.
If it's not a Muktzah issue, I'm not sure what the issue is.
The issue is that on Shabbos, I don't think even an area if you're allowed to carry anything without.
So he has a purpose.
He has a purpose, right.
But it has to be a Shabbos purpose, isn't it?
What's a Shabbos purpose?
I think that's more of a Northwest London.
Yeah. You change that. Is that what Rabbi Robinson told you?
Is this something I think we misunderstood? It is worth clarifying. Is, can you take a soccer ball that they just nothing to do with Shabbos?
Right.
But
what do you mean by nothing to do with Shabbos? Because I presume that you're going to do something with the soccer ball.
The spirit of Shabbos.
But that's a separate issue.
Use it for a different day, it becomes problematic. But can you take a gift that's got nothing to do with Shabbos? Can I take a...
That's a muktzah.
Can I take a milk chocolate to him? I'm going to take a box of milk chocolates to Paul for Shabbos. He can't eat them because I know he's having meat. Can I take a box of milk chocolates across the road to him? It's not muktzah.
He can't eat it.
I know
he can't eat it. He can't do anything without on Shabbos.
I know he can't eat it this Shabbos because I know he's meeting.
So that's probably you're going to have an issue of Hachana, but... Okay, this is far afield. This is very far afield.
It's quite an important point that, okay. that we still will clarify our topic.
So the chayav of nosin of the Amazonas. Okay, so it says that you're not allowed to feed, you're not allowed to catch or feed the fish, but you are allowed to catch and feed chayos va'ofos. Now, that's what the Mishnah and Beitzah says. That's part of the Mishnah and Beitzah. Then the Gemara says Uriminu. Uriminu, what's coming up?
Contradiction.
A contradiction between?
Two
equal sources. Excellent. Aruminu, two equal sources. Bibarin shall chayos v'shal ofos v'shal dagim. Ein tzadim behen biyomto ve'ein osnim lifnei amazonos. Right? So it's exactly an equal source because it's a tosefta, which is also a Tanaic source. It's like a braisa, also from Beitza, that says almost the exact opposite. It says, Bibarin shall chayos v'shal ofos v'shal dagim. Ein tzadim behen biyomto. It says you're not allowed to trap chayos and ofos and dagim also on Yom Tov. Veinos and lifnei mizonos, and you're not allowed to put in front of them food. So which is it? Are you allowed to trap these birds on Yom Tov, or are you not allowed to trap the birds and animals on Yom Tov?
Is the kavana here to trap them in order to take them and eat them and shecht them?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Gemara says kasha chaya chaya kasha ofos ofos. It says, well, let's break it down. First of all, there's a contradiction between the chayos and the ofos, so it's all the same. But here there's a contradiction between both one, and we're going to deal with each one separately. Bishlama, it's good. We can explain chaya achaya lokasha. Harabi Huda, harabanan. What does that mean?
Both Rabban and Chachamim agree with regards to...
Who's Rabbi Huda? Where did we see Rabbi Huda yet?
In the Mishnah.
Excellent. Our Mishnah. So they're using our Mishnah to solve a contradiction between two Tanaic sources in Beitza. How are they using our Mishnah? What did Rabbi Huda say? Right. So again, Bishma Chaya Achaya Lokasha Harabiyuda Harabanan. We can explain that there's no contradiction between these two sources with regards to at least the Chaya, to the animal. What did Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim argue about in our Mishnah? They agreed about the tzipor.
Yeah.
What did they argue about? The tzvi. What about the tzvi?
Tzvi labayis.
Whether exactly the area, whether or not being tzad a tzvi in a bibar, right, in a large enclosure, if that's considered tzeda. Rabbi Yehuda said it wasn't. Rabbi Yehuda says only in a bayis. And the Chachamim said no, even in a bibar is considered tzeda. Import that to the two sources in Beitza, and what do you have? The one that says that you're not allowed to catch or feed the chaya, right, in the Tosefta, that must be the Chachamim. The one that says that you are must be Rabbi Yehuda. So good. We solved one contradiction by dividing up the two sources between two sources, basically, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbana. Make some space. He's offering you his lap. Good, so that's very smooth. But that's how we solve the chaya achaya. So what's left? The of, right? Ofos ha-ofos. So what do you do? The ofos ha-ofos kasha. We still have a question about the birds. V'chitem ha-ofos ha-ofos nami lo kasha. So you'll tell me, no, it's not a question about the birds. Habibar mekora, habibar she'enu mekora. Maybe you'll say that we'll divide between the two cases. How do we divide between the two cases? Not between two Tanaim, but between
covered,
two cases.
One's an uncovered.
Exactly. One is an enclosed enclosure, right? One is a covered enclosure, which is obviously more protected and therefore more nitan for tzeda, especially when it comes to birds.
We're assuming tzipor and ofo for the same thing.
Yeah, we're assuming that tzipor and ofo for the same thing. Is that a bad assumption?
Yeah.
It could be, because it's not all off and from.
But clearly, we're talking about, they make a distinction between an oaf and a chaya. Why else would you make a distinction between an oaf and a chaya, unless it was about flying? But you see where he's going. Where they're going is they're saying, oh, let's divide up the cases by situation as opposed to by opinions, right? Yeah. By saying, oh, one case is an enclosed enclosure, and that's why you're not allowed to catch a bird there. The other case is an open enclosure, and that's why you are allowed to catch a bird there.
Because is that catching the birds? It's an open enclosure.
No, you can feed the bird. They're not.
It's not catching, and that's why you're allowed to.
So you can't say catch a bird in an open enclosure. You can feed the bird in the open enclosure.
Right.
Not catching.
Not catching. You said catch the bird in the open
enclosure.
Oh, what
did I say?
Yeah. You can't catch a bird in the open enclosure. You're not catching.
You're not catching. You're feeding the bird in the open enclosure.
Oh.
Right. Yeah.
No. Let me take a step back. I think because there's a little bit of confusion. I may have confused you, or I may have confused myself. If the bird or the animal, for that sake, is already caught, that's when you're allowed to catch it. So let's take a step back. I'm sorry.
It's caught. How can you catch it?
How can you catch it? Well,
that's the point. Once it's in the enclosure, you can grab it. What we're talking about now is whether or not you can grab the animal. Mm-hmm. So, right. So if it's in a bibar and that's considered tsad already, nitzod. Right, it's already in the enclosure, and it's trapped. It's kind of like an ein seida achar seida, but not really, because the point is that it's already trapped. So once it's already trapped, so then grabbing is not considered trapping it, right?
So a bird in an open enclosure is not really trapped.
If you grab it once you're in the
let's say for example if you had a gerbil in a gerbil inside of a cage, right? You could put your hand on it because it's already in a cage.
Just in this example, we're talking about something that wanders in on Chag, right?
What?
Something that wanders into the cage on
it's not relevant. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether it was before Shabbos, on Shabbos, doesn't matter.
Well, no, if something was trapped already before Chag or whatever else, then there would be no...
Then that's even better. There is a question. There is a question. The question that the Gemara is establishing is whether it's considered trapped, right? So to recap for a second, where we are right now is we had a double contradiction. We didn't know it was a double contradiction. We thought it was just one. One Mishnah says that you're allowed to trap the Chaya and the Oaf. The other, the Tosefta, says that you're not allowed to trap the Chaya and the Oaf. So we said, okay, well, the Chaya is easy enough. Why? Because we can just say it's a machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Whether or not there's a Chaya, an animal, in a bibar, which is an enclosure, is considered trapped already. If, like the Chachamim say, it's already considered trapped, then you can grab it, because it's already trapped. On Yom Tov. Okay? If, like Rabbi Yehuda, it's not considered trapped, then you can't do anything to it because it's not trapped yet. So then we said, okay, well, what about the oaf? We can't do that with the oaf because there's no dispute about the oaf, right? So then they said, no, let's make a distinction between the situations. In the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where it's in a roofed enclosure, which means that the bird is already caught, so you can grab it. And in the other case, it's an unroofed enclosure, an open enclosure, and therefore you can't grab it because that would be considered trapping.
What is the melacha of trapping? Is it just trapping? Grabbing it, or is it grabbing it in order to do something with it?
Let's say trapping, grabbing for now.
The purpose
is eventually to shecht it. I mean, in other words, where they do an of course it's mukhtar. All the melachos are. Yeah, so the gerbil may have been a bad example. The point is whether or not you were over the issur d'oraisa of trapping. It's a different thing. And what you should tell your kids not to do.
It applies to specific animals that you
It applies check. To all animals. No. Tzeda, of course, applies to all animals. The Bidoraisa. Whether or not something is mukta is only an issue rabbinically. Right? That's only post the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to trap any animal.
Shouldn't we be talking about trapping
No,
That may be, but it doesn't matter.
If your dog runs out of the
yard, you can't touch your dog on Shabbos.
What other reason would you have for catching an animal?
Smoksa.
You would catch, on Yom Tov, maybe. No other. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the reason. Yeah, okay.
Can you just explain to me something?
I mean,
if you have a dog.
But it's also on Shabbos as well. Okay. I'm not sure what the relevance of why you're catching it for is. What does it matter why you're catching it? What about a dog?
Runs out to the road.
Okay, there, yeah, that's a halachic issue. Let's hold off on halachic issues for a little bit. Because there's so many of them. There's so many. And we're gonna try to go through as many as we can. But first, we want to get the basics by going through the Gemara.
What? If it's not for food, it's muktzah.
Muktzah is a separate issue. Muktzah is a rabbinic issue. We're talking right now about the malacha issue. About whether or not you're over the Issa D'Oraisa of Tzedah. Okay? And there are many halachic issues here, I realize. I have many contemporary, everyday, every Shabbos, every Yom Tov halacha issues, and we're going to try to get through some of them. But we have to get through the basics first, just to understand the principles. Right? Okay. So that's where we are in the Gemara. The Gemara says then, it's not done, and says, maybe we'll say, Habibar Makorah, Habibar Sheina Makorah. So you say, no, V'habayis to Makorahu. Ubein Rabbi Yehuda, Ubein Rabbanan, Tzipor L'Migdal in the bias, lo. You can't do that because once we made a distinction, between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, there's no reason to make this distinction because they don't actually distinguish between the birds. Right. Right. The Mishnah said the only way to catch a bird is in a migdal. Bein Rabbi Yehuda ubein Rabbanan. So this Mishnah in Beitza and the Tosefta don't agree with either of those.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be a problem. You can't make the distinction between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan for this. Okay, so then the Gemara has to still figure that out. So it says, "Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, Hacha b'tzipor dror askinan." It's a free bird, like the song. We're talking about two different kinds of birds. Some birds, the moment they get a chance, they fly away, and some birds will stay. They're domesticated. L'fisha ena mekabelas marus. This is a bird that's a wild bird. The moment it sees an open window, it's out of there. It's gone. Because it goes wherever it wants. Inside, outside, it goes wherever it feels like it. So now we made a distinction between two different kinds of birds. Some birds are considered caught when they're in a bibar, and some birds are not considered caught when they're a bibar. It all depends on what kind of bird it is. Whether it's a domesticated bird, whether it's a wild bird. So now the Gemara says, oh, you know what? That's a really great answer. It's so good that we're going to use it for both contradictions. Hashda da asis lahachi. What does that mean?
Hashda
da atit lahachi. Hashda means now. Atit means came, to come. And lahachi means, in this case, it means to this. So now that we've come to this, hashda da atis lahachi, now that we've gotten to this point, chaya chaya nami lokasha. We can answer up the chaya chaya contradiction as well, the animal contradiction. We can say, habibir bergadol, habibir katon. Hechidami bibiber gadol hechidami. Wait 1 second. We can answer up that question. I thought they were going to say that it was two different kinds of species. Right. Saying we're going to distinguish. One of them is talking about a big bibar, and one of them is talking about a small bibar. In other words, they would prefer if they could to avoid distinguishing the two Tanaic sources by author. There is a preferential treatment when you have contradictions. Right? There's lots of ways of answering up contradictions. The two most common are either dividing by author or dividing by situation. You know what I mean by dividing by author? That's what we did before. We said this one was Rabbi Yehuda and this one was Rabbanan. Right? But the preferred method is dividing by situation. Saying, oh, that case was one situation. In this case, it's a different situation. That's what we did with the bird. We said that one's a free bird and that one is a domesticated bird. Here now they're saying, oh, that one was a big bibar, a large enclosure, which everybody says is not considered trapped, and that's why you're not allowed to trap it now. And this one is a small bibar, it's a small enclosure, and everybody says that's a caught animal, and that's why you're allowed to grab it. Right? So by doing that, we divide it by situation, and then everybody's happy, and everybody can agree.
Why is that bibarim? That's why it's bibarim. It's a small one, basically.
I think bibarim is just plural for bibar. Yeah.
Why? If they're all in the single, or actually grammatically, could be biberin could be a smaller version, eh?
No. Yeah, but look at the next line. Lo kol biberin shama.
Lo kol biberin shama.
It just happens to be.
So how did they make a jump though from a free bird and a wild bird to the size of the enclosure? Why didn't they?
No, those are two separate distinctions. With the bird, you mean what was the hashdada asid lachi? The hashdada lachi was shifting to dividing by situation as opposed to dividing by offer.
Divide by free wild animal.
Yeah, I was expecting them to do that, but they didn't. Because a chaya is a wild animal. That's probably why. The Tana Bir Bishma, Lamanik Rashma Tzipor. Okay, we said that already. Now we're going to get down to definitions. What is a biber gadol? What's big? What's small? Amar Rashi kol hecha derahit batrei umati la bechad shechia biber katan. The definition of a small enclosure with regard to whatever animal you're dealing with is a small enough enclosure that with a hop, skip, and a jump, basically, you can get your hands on the animal from basically anywhere in the area. Right, that, but just by taking a step or two and sticking out your hands and grabbing it, you can get the animal. Umati la b'chad shichya, with one lunge. That's a biber katan. Vidach biber gadol, and anything else considered a biber gadol. Okay? By the way, just for, how would you describe that kind of definition? Basically, if that's the definition of trapping, basically. So really trapping is grabbing it by your hands, right? That's really trapping. So, but also trapping it inside an enclosure is trapping.
Yeah, but that means you have to run after it. Here you just like one step and you got it.
Exactly. To trap it in a situation where the next step is grabbing with your hands, that's considered trapping. Anything less is not.
Anything less
more
is
more.
Not.
Anything bigger, right. Anything bigger would be not. Inami kol echad nafil tula dektali mahadade bibar katan. Or another definition was where the shadows of the wall, that has to do just with actual size, that it's small enough that the shadows of one wall reach the other. Okay, it's just a very small area. Vidach biber gadol. Vinami kol hecha deleka ukti biber katan vidach biber gadol. Or where there's not a lot of places for the animal to go. Right, uksin is a corner. So if it's not a lot of places for the animal to go, these are all basically parallel distinctions, parallel definitions for how big the area has to be in order for it to be considered trapped. Okay, let's keep going, because I do want to go to the end of the Gemara before we go back and see some of the Rishonim and the Halacha issues. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, and this is who brought this up before. I think, Cheskel, you asked about whether Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was arguing. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Halacha Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel was the one who said that kol shemechusar tzeda, right, any times when it's mechusar tzeda, then it's pater. If there's still more to do, then it's pater. By the way, pater usually means, on Shabbos, pater of al-asr. In other words, you're not going to have to bring a korban for violating a malacha d'araisa, but you still shouldn't do it. It's asr midarabanan. That's what usually it means. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that it's pater as long as it's mechusar tzeda. There's still more to do. So Rav Yosef quotes Rav Yehuda, who says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Abaye pipes up. He says something interesting. He says, Amar le'Abaye, halacha mechlad de pliki. If the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, the implication is that somebody disagrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel, right? But Abaye is saying, who would disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel? Why would anybody disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel? What he says makes perfect sense. All he's saying is that it depends. Everybody agrees with it depends. How do you disagree with it depends? So Amr Le, my nafkalim chamina. What's the difference? Why are you sticking it in about, just because I said halacha ka Rishon Gamliel, so that means that there's somebody disagreeing. Halacha is like Rishon Gamliel. That's all I was trying to say. Amr Le, Gemara Gomer is Masa Tehe. What? You're going to make the Gemara into a song? It's not. You have to be careful with your words. You have to be careful with the way that you talk. You're going to say halacha k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That means is that somebody argues, and that matters. It matters that somebody argues. If nobody argues, then just say everybody agrees. Kuli alma k'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel.
We'll have a gemara.
But no, I mean, he's saying whenever there's a distinction to be made, we make it, and so you can't just say things if they're not true. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Hatzad Svi Suma, V'yashin, Chayav. What happens, Nebuch, you trapped a deer that was blind or crippled?
Deaf.
Right? You're Chayav. Or sleeping. Chayav. If he's blind or sleeping, you're chayev. If he's crippled or old or sick, you're pater. What's the difference between these cases?
He was already caught if he was sick or blind.
Why?
Because
he can't get away. Amali Abayla of Yosef, Maishnahani. What's the difference? Hani avidi li rebuye, hani lo avidi li rebuye. One of them, what does Rashi say? One of them, the blind one and the sleeping one, when you touch it, what's going to happen? It's going to run away. But the old and the sick and the infirm, right? There's nowhere for them to go. They're just going to sit there and take it. But there's a braisa that says that if the animal is sick, you are chayev, even though it's presumably not going to run away. Amavshay says, Lokasha. Anybody want to guess what they're going to say?
Not sick enough that it can't.
Exactly. Habachola machmas ishta, habachola machmas uvtsana. What's the English for that? This is an animal which is sick with fever, and that animal is sick with fatigue. So if it's just fever, then it'll run away. If it's fatigue, then it won't run away. See, that's the distinction. Tanu Rabbanan Hatzad Chagavin Gizin Tsarin V'Yitushin B'Shabbos. Okay, here we go. What happens if you catch an insect on Shabbos? An insect. I'd
love to get extra marks.
Chayav.
Is a blind insect or a crippled insect?
One that's bagging you.
Just old.
That one's
carrying AIDS.
Zika. Zika.
Yeah. Chayav. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says you're chayav. V'chachamim Rabbim. Kol she'bimino nitzod chayav. V'kol she'en bimino nitzod pater. Okay. Here we find the first broad distinction between animals that are given to tzeda and not given to tzeda. Rabbi Meir says all animals, including insects, are your chayev for catching them. But then the Chachamim jump in and say, no, you know what? Insects are a different kind of animal because nobody catches them. But maybe this is what you guys were wondering about before. Why are you catching them? Why are you catching something? Normally you catch an animal to shecht it, right? Or to shave its wool, by the way, is another reason. Or to get its blood or ink out of it, right? That's what they did with the snails. That was one of the tzedas that they did. They used to catch the snail to get the ink out of it. Those are things that you catch for a reason. But flies, what do you catch a fly for? You don't catch a fly. You may kill a fly.
Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah, that's true. But what do you do with it? Okay, we're not Chinese, so
chopsticks to me.
In the Western world.
Such a cool rabbi, he knows what Mr. Miyagi is.
I know about both versions of Mr. Miyagi.
Oh. Oh. If he was sheets, I'll probably hold
that. You feed it to an animal. You feed flies to an animal?
Yeah.
Like a
frog.
Okay.
These guys grew up in South
Africa. Those are not the kind of animals that most people are.
Feed.
Seriously,
feed your frogs. You often feed your frogs.
Not a fly, but a mosquito. You trap
it. It's not mino nitzod. It's not what you normally do to a fly. You don't usually catch it for future use.
Trapping a mosquito so that doesn't bite you. You're trapping
it. Right, so that's not called. That's called just getting it away, right?
What if you don't just get it away?
Even the trapping, though, is just to get rid of it. It's not because you want the animal. There is no situation where you want the mosquito. You want to get rid of it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about trapping
for use,
right? For use. So that's what the Chachamim, that's the distinction that they make, which is the halacha lemaisa, by the way. Daraisa, catching an insect is not chayv daraisa. It's asami darabanan, but it's not chayv daraisa.
About killing an insect.
Killing an insect is asami daraisa.
On Shabbat.
Yes. Because that's the tilas neshama. That's a separate malacha. Kol sheminu nitzav chayv, kol sheminu nitzav pater. Tani idach, another braisa, hatzar chagavim b'shas hatal potter b'shas hasharav chayav. Okay, it depends on whether or not it's hot out or whether it's cold out. Okay, we can run through to the end over here. Eliezer ben Mahavai omer im hayu makalchot uvaot patur ibailu Eliezer ben. Okay, we'll stop there. That's in terms of the insects. There was a lot more in the Gemara I wanted to do, but I also wanted to get to the sheet. Well, we'll get to the sheet, and if we have time for the rest, we'll get back to it. We'll get.
Where is that in the Gemara?
There's the next Mishnah in Gemara, which is also really, really important. But we could do it next time, or we'll see how much time we have here. So go to the sheet now. You know what? There's one more line. Go back to the Gemara for just 1 second. There's a short piece of Mishnah in Gemara that I did want to see. You see the Mishnah at the bottom over there? Mm-hmm. But not the... Yeah, Tzvi. Tzvi Shenichnas, it's the before the first white line. Tzvi Shenichnas Labayis V'Nal Echad B'Fanav, Chayav. If you have a deer, right, that goes into your house, and you close the door in front of it, for the sake of trapping it, you're Chayav. Na'alu Shnayim P'turim. If two people do it at once, then they're both Pater. Why? Two people who do one Malacha, that each one of them could have done it himself, they're Pater.
This is where this
comes up a lot of places, but this is one of them. Lo yachol echad linol v'na'alu shnayim chayavim. If it was a hippopotamus behind the door, right, and it was a heavy door, and to get the door closed, you need two people, right? It's like the shul, my shul in Brooklyn, the Aron HaKodesh.
No,
there are no hippopotamuses there. That's not the connection. My shul in Brooklyn. We don't have a curtain. We don't have a curtain. We have these doors, right? And it's two doors, so you open it from the middle. So the gavai has a tendency. I know this because he told me has a tendency to give psicha to guests for his own amusement. Because it happens to be that the doors are much heavier than they look. And so everybody kind of tries to, like,
slide.
just walk or sidle over. He gives it to two guests, because they always have two people, because one from both sides. So people kind of just, like, casually, like, reach over and, like, try to pull it to the side, and they can't. So you see them, like, get up, and they have to use two hands and everything. And he gets a good laugh on the side. So that's Shnayim Sha'asahu on Shabbos, right? To open this. If you have a door that requires two people to close it, Then two people closing it, they're both chayav, because it's required that they both do it. That's what the Mishnah says. Rabbi Shimon posts. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Okay. Amar b'yomi ba'aba, Amar Shmuel hatzad ari. What about trapping a lion on Shabbos? Eino chayav ad shiachnisenu legurziki shalo. Gurziki would be the cage, right? If you catch a lion on Shabbos, you're not going to be chayav unless you get it into the cage.
Unless he was going to eat you.
You're going to be dead.
Yeah. So, in other words, pretty much until you get it into the cage, it's not caught. Has anyone been to the Biblical Museum of Natural History? That's the Rabbi Slifka Museum.
Yeah,
it's awesome. By the way, everybody should go. It's like the perfect amount of time in the perfect place. It's great with kids. Does awesome mean something else in other places in the world? The reason I'm remembering is because he has a video there of him standing next to this lion in, I think it's South Africa, I think.
Yeah. Really fully voiceover.
Yeah, no, but he was scared out of his mind. Yeah. He just posted, he just flew to South Africa again, to film again, with the same lion, only 3 years older and much, much bigger and scarier. I guess he's talking about it again, and he's talking about how it's the same line. He's probably going to juxtapose the
he was
things.
He freaked out the first time.
Yeah, he's even more scared this time. Anyways, so that's in terms of catching the line. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because that's going to be my first... I want to get a little bit into the conceptual underpinnings over here of what it means to trap something. So if you look at the sheet, so Rashi over here... Rashi over here is really Rashi at the top. Rashi all the way at the top. He wonders the following question. He wonders, why are you not allowed to feed a fish? Right? Going all the way back to the beginning. Why are you not allowed to feed the fish or feed the animal? I understand why you're not allowed to trap it. Why are you not allowed to feed it?
Like the first stage of trapping.
Good. So Rashi says no. Rashi says simply, cave the mehen muktza lo matzim mitrachalayo. They're muktza.
Why just fish?
It's not just fish. Anything that you're not allowed to interact with, you're not allowed to feed.
No, you're not touching it.
So you can't feed your dog.
So that
yours is different.
The fish are mukta, so you're not allowed to work for the fish. You're not allowed to mitrach alayhu.
Dog is mitzvah as well. You are allowed to feed your dog.
You have to feed your dog.
That's the point.
You have to feed your dog.
Maybe before you say shema, you can feed your fish.
You have a relationship with the dog. With the fish, you don't have a relationship.
In your own fish.
It's not your own fish. Think you would feed your own fish. Think you would feed, and they're caught anyways.
Right.
If you're a farmer, you have the kiddish.
You have all of your animals.
Then you have to feed your animals first.
That's why you have to feed your kids.
Yes.
That's why you just said that. You
can't. Feed your fish for sure. The fish in your house, of course, you fish. You feed. We're talking about a fish pond where they're semi-caught.
Unless you're in China, in which case they have big tanks and they take the fish out.
Right in front of you.
You have it in the shuk.
Right.
Rather fish are gush. They're big fish. It's
not how big the fish is. It's not the size of the fish. Whatever. If you look, though, at Tosas on the top, though, we're not going to read the whole Tosas, but I did want to point out, if you look at Tosos on the top, Veinostem Lifnei Mezonos, the first Tosos, if you go like seven lines down in the middle, it says Verashi. You see? It says Verashi.
Mm-hmm.
Seven lines down, it says Verashi in the middle. Verashi de Pirish Kevin Dein Sadin Muktza Ninu. Since you can't catch them, they're Muktza. Lahachi Veinostem Lifnei Mezonos. Anything you're not going to catch would be Muktza, and therefore you can't give them Mezonos. Vein Torchen Bishvilam. That's what Rashi said. In your club, Tosa says, I don't understand. Da'atnan l'kama b'perek basar, nosnim mayim l'fnei avzim uvetarnagolim l'fnei yoni had haridayasos. Says, you're allowed to feed animals. You're allowed to put water and things in front of animals that you can't touch on Shabbos. Afagav the muktzin had b'Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're allowed to do that, let alone Yom Tov. So he says, v'nir l'ri, kolecha da'avi kenitot v'omi mida raisa, kegod ivzin v'tarnagolim v'yoni haridasayos. The afagav dimidur abanan asur letzudan, he says that's the distinction. He says that when can you feed the animal? You can feed the animal when it's midaraisa already caught. If it's already midaraisa caught, then you can feed it. If it's not caught midaraisa, you can't feed it. Why? Because Tosas disagrees with Rashi about the reason why you can't feed it. What does Tosas think the reason you can't feed it? What have you said it before? Because it's a gezeira, shema, you're gonna catch it. Feeding is one of the steps to catching it. You start feeding it, then you're going to catch it. Mm-hmm. So if it's daraisa, if the catching is daraisa, so then they can make a gzera and say you can't feed it. But if the catching itself is only midarabanan, then what do you call it if they make another gzera? That's a gzera la gzera. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't say you're not allowed to feed an animal that's already midaraisa caught. Because what are they worried about? That you're going to catch it? Catching it is only midarabanan anyways. So they wouldn't make a gzera like that. Okay? So Tosas disagrees with Rashi. He says, no, the distinction is that if it's caught midaraisa, like these ducks apparently are, then you're allowed to feed it. But if it's the fish where they're not really caught, so then you're not allowed to feed it.
What is, does Tosas go in the action that it could lead to trapping? Or if you have no intention, like this guy who takes his chalet to the birds because he happens to like the pigeons coming down, he's got lines, he's never caught, he's never going to catch it.
Right, so that's what I think. I think you're right. I think that in the situation where you're not intending to catch it at all, right, where there's no, that's totally out of context, then there's no problem with feeding it. I also think that the answer to the tashlich question could also be that tashlich is not about feeding the fish. You could do tashlich in a pond without fish. You don't need the fish. The fact that the fish get fed is completely mimela. Some people might have that intention, which may potentially be a problem, but that's not what tashlich is about. It's not about feeding fish.
So you're saying it's intent.
Certainly, if you certainly, certainly you could put
bread right that the ducks didn't eat was eaten by fish in the same.
No problem at all. As well as eating a sandwich over a pond, and the crumbs falling into the pond is also not a problem. It's not,
intent.
Having fish eat your food is not the problem. The problem is that you're not supposed to feed the fish, and Tosas says the reason is because you might come to catch it. So if there's no, if that's not the context, then obviously
what
it
wouldn't
be a problem.
Someone else seeing you feeding the fish and not knowing what your intent is?
Marisai?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're not feeding the fish in most cases. The cases that we're talking about, it's clear that you're not feeding the fish. You're just eating it over the fish. The Marisayan, don't know. Not sure. Now, the Avnei Nezer, though, gets into another aspect of it. You know what? We'll skip that answer for now. We don't need it right now. How about a different question? What's the problem with feeding fish or trapping fish on Yom Tov?
Yeah, you can cook. Well, you can catch them to eat.
What's the problem?
You can catch them. You're allowed to cook them.
Why can't you catch them? Isn't it part of Ochel Nefesh?
Didn't we discuss this? That there are only
we did discuss it.
Can you shift it?
Now we're going to discuss it again.
Okay.
You and I discussed it.
You can't do everything for cooking.
You can murder. Like you
car.
Can murder for food.
Get in the car, drive down to the shop.
Actually, I had a friend.
I'm cooking.
I remember when I was in Shana Aleph, there was a Shana Bet, there was like a discussion at the base, and we were like joking around, like, oh, are you allowed to rip on the letters for food on Shabbos? Are you allowed to open up packages? And somebody was like, oh, you can do it. If it's for food, you can do it. And the Shana Bet guy was like, yeah, you can do anything for food on Shabbos. You can rip open the letters. You can steal for food on Shabbos. You can murder for food on Shabbos. Everything for food on Shabbos you're allowed to do.
For Yom Tov.
He said for Shabbos. So this is actually Tosas and Beta, which is based on the Mishnah that we quoted.
But I don't understand the question. The Malacha of Tzav Tzayed is not, as we said, it is not connected to Shechita.
Right? What do you mean it's not connected?
You're not allowed to catch an animal because you might come to Shechita. You're not allowed to catch an animal.
You're right, but catching the animal is part of the process of Ochel Nefesh, isn't it?
Yeah, but we separated the two.
But there are a lot of Malachas. All the Malachas... Let's say for now, in
like
a broad strokes, all malachos in theory, all malachos that are part of Ochel Nefesh should be allowed.
I don't understand the fish question, because just the fact that you're allowed to eat the fish doesn't necessarily mean that you're allowed to catch the fish in order to eat.
Why not?
Because it's a separate problem. If you can't catch an animal, okay, even if there's no way you're going to shecht it,
let me put it this way. Let's say you have an animal in front of you already, right? Are you allowed to shecht it?
No.
No?
On Yom Tov?
On July.
On Yom Tov.
No.
Why not?
Yeah.
No, because you're making a wound.
That's right, but it's for Ochel Nefesh.
Can't
shecht
on
Yom Tov.
The question is, can you trap as well? So there's obviously some things you're allowed to do, well. Some things you aren't allowed
so,
to
so,
do.
So, okay, so, you know, let's look at the, let's see, let's let Rishonim answer it for us. So, Ein Tzadin Dagim Yon Abibar, and Perish Rashi. So, Rashi says, Afagav Ochel Nefesh Mutter, it's true, Ochel Nefesh is Mutter, that Chaynu Davka Kon Bishol Vafia Vishchita, Di'i Efsha Me'erv Yom Tov, Di'yozer Tov Pas Chama V'gam Bishol V'yom Tov Vishchita Shem Yesriach. When are you allowed to do a malacha for Ochel Nefesh on Yom Tov? What's the rule of thumb that Rashi quotes? When it couldn't have been done in a good and efficient way before Yom Tov. So he says, you're allowed to shecht, you're allowed to cook, you're allowed to, what else did he mention? You're allowed to bake.
Would not having refrigeration be a good enough reason?
Yes. So the truth is that cooking may be a different story, but
that's the problem.
Well,
you never have to trap the fish on Yom Tov, whatever.
Right, exactly. So he's saying it doesn't matter when you trap something because it doesn't spoil during the trapping process. So Rashi says all things like tseida, efsher, letsudo, me'er v'yom tov v'yanichenu b'mayim b'metsudasa v'lo yamos. You could trap the fish in water before Yom Tov, and then you'll have it on Yom Tov. There's no spoilage. So that's why it's a problem. In other words, Ochel Nefesh is only mutter. This is Rashi's rule. Ochel Nefesh is only mutter when you couldn't eat shalasos
lifnei Yom Tov.
That's Rashi's rule. Tosas disagrees. Lo nihira. Can the Mefarish Bereish Mechilton gabi gzeira shama yitlosh de'en lechalek b'Ochel Nefesh b'en shalasos b'erev Yom Tov li'efshar. I don't want to go too deep into the cases that he's bringing. Eladavka b'machshirin yesh chiluk l'kach. He says that's only true when it comes to machshire ochel nefesh. Lekach nirali kiparish rabbi Nachmanu mikinon shpeish leo mishum de dami lektira. He thinks that the problem is that fishing is not only tzeda, and this is a big chiddush. Fishing is not only tzeda; it's also apparently ktira. What's ktira? Ktira is normally plucking from a tree, right? It's cutting from a growing plant, right? So Tosas has a big chiddush. He considers taking a fish out of the water a form of ktsira.
Ah, somewhat peculiar.
This is a very, very interesting chiddush, right? basically saying that what is ketira? Ketira is tolesh minachayim, is removing an object from its source of life.
So you wouldn't have a problem taking a bird. You wouldn't have a problem taking a bird
from a tree. No.
No, not from a tree. Yeah, but
no.
Catching a bird that's running in the yard, you wouldn't have a problem.
Not from ketira. It wouldn't be ketira.
Right.
So it's technically coming outside water.
Right.
If you kill the fish in the water, then that's okay.
It wouldn't be ketira. But that's not what's happening here. Here we're talking about trapping.
I still don't understand why the
distinction. But yes, I guess harpoon whaling would not be.
You can spear it.
Why, I don't understand why the distinction between a fish and a regular animal for this problem.
Because an animal doesn't live from the ground.
No. I don't understand the question. You're saying why is it a problem to trap a fish? Because you can nefesh, you can chalefesh, you can eat it. Why can't you apply the same principle to an animal, to trap an animal on riyontif? If you can take a fish...
In theory, Tosas says you could.
There's no significance that it's asking about a fish.
Right, it would seem from Tosas that you could. Okay. Rashi is the one who says you can't.
Okay,
so that's a very, very important Tosos and Rashi. Now take a look at the next part. This gets more conceptual. Shlita o tzeda gemura. What is tzeda? So if you look, first look at Rashi. Here, look at Rashi on the bottom of the Gemara when it says Hatzad Ari. Why is it that if you just grab a lion, that's not considered tzeda? Why is grabbing a lion? Isn't that trapping? You grab the lion.
Yeah, you caught nothing.
You caught it.
The lions grab you.
Have you ever tried to catch a lion?
So Rashi says, "Atzad ari afilu tofso ein zo tedaso shekoes mashchit v'alech." Because if he gets angry at you, he's just going to kill you and walk away. So that can't be considered trapping. But you understand that there's still quite. Meaning, you did the act of tzeda. You grabbed it. But Rashi says, no, you didn't do tzeda because you. Why? Somebody say why? Because.
So you haven't really caught it.
Why? You did. You grabbed
it. You haven't subdued it.
Because that's not.
Because you haven't taken
control.
You haven't taken control of the animal. Tzeda means taking control of the animal.
It's like the rules for catching in cricket.
Yeah,
that's really.
If you haven't got control of the ball, the guy's not out. If you jump up and grab the pop,
you mean it's like the opposite of a loose ball foul?
Yeah.
You don't know what a loose ball foul is.
It's like a football. It's like when you catch, you have to make a football move.
You have to be in control.
You have to make a football move, otherwise it's not a catch.
You have to be in control of the animal or the ball, otherwise
you have to make a football. It's like the Calvin Johnson rule. If you go down and then it pops out,
you haven't done it.
Right.
It's like catching a lion.
Okay. Good sushta.
Now we understand.
Good. So that's what Rashi says. Now let's take a look at the Rambam and see if he agrees. Rambam says, "Hatzad davar shederech minola tzur." I'm on the sheet, by the way. After the in the Shlita or Tzeda Gemara, the Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos, "Hatzad davar shederech minola tzur otan chayav." If you catch something that normally is caught, you're chayav. Kigun chayav ofes v'dagim. V'hu sheitzor otan lemakom sheino mechusar tzeda. As long as you get into a place that don't need any more tzeda, l'ficha hatzad ari eino chayav. So it sounds like from the Rambam that it's not enough to just have control. You have to put it into the place where it's caught. What would happen if you, I don't know, you grabbed the lion and you tranquilized it? Is that considered tzeda?
No.
Yeah.
From Rashi's perspective? Yeah. No. For sure, 100%.
Yeah.
For the Rambam's perspective, is that tzeda?
No.
It's tzeda is to do tzeda gemura. It has to be not mechusar tzeda. That's what he focuses very much on. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's the Mishnah's maxim of not mechusar tzeda. It has to be done. The job has to be done. Like the animal's not going anywhere. From Rashi's perspective, I would say that he focuses more on the shichia. Remember that definition they gave us, that when is the what is the enclosure where you can grab it at any point, where you have control. Where, like, basically, you're in control of this animal now. So Rashi's perspective, it's all about control. From Rambam's perspective, it's all about getting it into the enclosure, into its cage, where it belongs. Trapping. Real trapping. Where does this come up? So it could be that it comes up in another case. What happens if you have an animal that we catch it, but it's very easy to catch it because it's very slow? for example.
A
turtle. Or a porpoise, or a tortoise, apparently. A porpoise, something else. Or a tortoise, apparently.
Depends if you're in the water.
Right? The tortoise and the hare. So the tortoise, while he is slow and steady, he's also easy to catch. Right? So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kihochas, he says, Shamati me'agon Rav Neuvert, Zatzal, quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zatzal, Delo asa mi derabanan, ela babali chayim ka'ela shabaderech klal shayechet bo tzeda, ela shehu chole. But an ant, or he's going to say, a tzav, he says afterwards, which are easy to catch. There's no tzeda for those. There's a lot of typos here. Mishum iser muktza aser l'tav samvelo mishum tzeda. It could be that it's aser to catch them because of muktza, but mitam tzeda there is no issue. An animal that is easy to catch. Is not there's no trapping, right? So that's another. By the way, that's another distinction similar to the Gemara said flies and insects. There's no tzeda for them midaraisa. So he says there's no tzeda at all for things like turtles. By the way, the problem is that on the very next daf it says that there is tzeda by turtles. So what do you do about that? So
I. Americans, it's the same thing. Turtles live in the water.
Really?
Turtles live in the water.
Turtles and amphibians.
In America, turtles the same as a tortoise?
No, seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess not, but I don't.
You've never seen a tortoise. You've never seen a tortoise in the water.
Right, alligator and crocodile. Yeah, I'm sure they're different.
It's dead.
Bye bye.
What
about
him? It's dead.
Alligator
and crocodile is different.
Finding tortoise.
I guess this is like a Monty Python sketch, and then I get it.
Shut off, it's more coil.
are we on to the parrot? It's only a matter of time.
How would you like it if I started quoting The Simpsons left and right?
We love it.
We love that as well.
Cease to be.
The Tosas Rid, by the way, the next piece. So he points out that the tzav in the Mishnah in the next daf is not the tzav, is not a turtle. It must be a different animal because it doesn't make sense. Is a tortoise easy to catch? Are they slow?
Yeah.
On land, are they slow?
A turtle's very easy to catch from land because it's dead.
Turtles live in the water.
Which is the one that lives in the water?
Turtles.
And a tortoise lives only on the land?
Yeah.
Which one lives in the sewers? Easy way to remember. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles live in the sewers in the water, right? The tortoise lives on the land.
It should have been Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But the name was...
The American tortoise.
Six foot under... Legs,
I'm getting killed here. Okay. Either way.
But you're saying that even a tzavya is not a tortoise or a turtle, it's something else.
Right, it must be something else because otherwise it wouldn't be nitzad. Right. So that's a support for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Who disagrees? The Chazanish. Chazanish actually says, he says, the shem tzeda hu hava'a otol l'makom mitumtzam, by the way, who does that sound like? He says, tzeda is bringing it to an enclosed place. And to not allow it to move. So who does that sound like? And that's explicitly like the Rambam, right? Now, the distinction here might be, basically, all machlok is Rashi Rambam. According to Rashi, if it's all about control, right? You just have to get control. So with a turtle or a tortoise, whichever one's slower, it's always nitzod. It's always under your control. You can get whatever you want. You don't even have to walk. There's no effort involved. So it's always considered nitzad, right? But is it in a cage? Always? No, it's not. The turtles have cages. You don't want them to get away, right? They have cages. It is mechutzut seda right now from that perspective. So the Rambam might say that, yeah, a turtle needs to be, a turtle, there is seda by a turtle. And Rashi might say, no, there isn't, based on what they say about the lion. Interesting. Based on what they say about the lion, you might be able to get informed about what they say about a turtle. Okay. What's this one talking about? Oh, this is the next stuff. You know what? We have to do it. Sorry. So let's do it. Go back to the Gemara. Okay. So still on the bottom, the next Mishnah. Yashav echad al pesach v'lo mil ahu. We're talking about a case where there's an animal in a room. And you're standing at the door. You're sitting at the doorway on the bottom of Kuf Vav Mem. Yeah. Okay. You're sitting in the doorway, preventing it from leaving. That's what's happening. Yashav Echad Al Pesach V'Lo Milahu. If you're not filling the doorway, Yashav Hashenu Milahu Hashenu Chayev. And somebody comes and sits next to you, thereby blocking the doorway completely. He is Chayev Hasheni, because he finished it. Yashav Arishon Al Pesach Umilahu. You filled it. Uba Hasheni V'Yashav B'Tzido. Imagine that you have one person sitting in front of the door. He fills the whole doorway. And then someone comes and he sits next to him or in front of him, whatever. He's not really doing anything because it's already blocked. And then the first guy gets up. Which means that the second guy now is the one who's blocking. It was the halacha. So the Mishnah says the first guy is chayev. He was chayev when he sat down. And the second guy is not chayev for anything because all he's doing is just sitting. He was already trapped. And he's just prolonging that. He hasn't done anything. Sheni Pater. Halamazadom. What's it like? Lenolas Besa Lashomra of an Imtisfi Shamar Zelcho. You know what it's like? It's like where you lock your house in order to protect it from robbers, and it turns out that a deer was inside of it.
A deer was inside of the house.
Right. It's a countryside. Now, what? Two things about this.
But that's quite different to the case where you've got a...
Is it alike at all? It's more...
It might be quite different. No.
Well, I think the point that they're making...
The intent was different. I mean, the only commonality is that there's in each case the intention was not to trap.
Right.
But the method is very different.
Right. That's one surprising thing about the comparison. The comparison is one surprising thing. Is there anything else surprising about this?
He's just trapped to death. I mean, he's whether his intent was or not. I mean, he's derived.
The second surprising thing is that that's putter. That's also surprising. That you're not chayav for that. So let's look at the Gemara. So the Gemara says, turn the page over. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Nichnes alo tzipor tachas knafav.
Does the trapping depend on the size of the villa again?
This sounds like it's a room or a house in this case. And the house is probably not like a three-story house. It's probably like a ranch. So
it's
a small...
It can't be trapping if it's not small enough that you can in one step.
I guess this house is different. I had the same thought. Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Chiya, Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Nichnas alo tzipor tachas knafav, yoshev v'mashamro ad shetechshav. What happens if you're just sitting there and all of a sudden a bird flies into your shirt? Yep. 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 So what do you do? And it can't get out. It's trapped now in your shirt. So what do? You have to take your shirt off? He says, no. Sit there. You can say that. You can stay there, and if you want the bird for later, you can just sit there with the bird. And after Shabbos, you can grab the bird, and you can shecht it, and you can eat the bird. You don't have to let the bird go.
It might be a bit messy. Flapping around inside your shirt.
Look.
It's
a very Australian thing, no?
I dare to ask this question. Was it a parrot?
What?
Was it a parrot?
Was it a parrot? A parrot?
A parrot. Was it a parrot? Or Norwegian
blue? It's a Norwegian blue.
The famous one.
Very famous. It's like the famous toast.
Yeah. Maybe I have to wake it up.
I have a lot of YouTube to apparently I have a lot of YouTube to catch up on.
It is a
20,000 volts.
I wish I could laugh.
We'll show you.
Fine. Masiv Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So he asked, what's Masiv, by the way? It's a question. What kind of question? Masiv? From a higher source, thank you. Meisiv Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. How do we know it's a higher source? Because here we're quoting an Amora. So what are we expecting now? Mishnah or Pasuk. Meisiv Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Yashav Arishon Al Pesach Umilahu Va Sheni V'Yashav Betzido Av Pish Amar Arishon V'Halach La Arishon Chayev. Is it a Mishnah or a Braisa? There's no keywords. It's a Mishnah. You know how I know? Because it's our Mishnah. It's the Mishnah we just read.
Before, yeah.
We just read. So, Mezer of Nachem Barayitz, Miyasha Rishon al Pesach, Umilau, Vasheni Viyasha Betido, Afbi Shamar Rishon, Valach La Rishon, Chayev, Asheni Pater. How does that inform this case? Because it's another case where a person was not actively trapping it. He's just, it was trapped of Omed. In other words, the guy walked into a situation where the animal's already trapped. He's allowed to stay there. Nothing wrong with staying there. So too, the bird flew under your shirt. You're allowed to sit there with the bird. You didn't do anything. So that's his question. He's saying, Arishon chayev asheni pater. My love pater aval aser. So he says the question is that the Mishnah implies that it's pater aval aser. That's aser midir abanon. But our Gemara, the Amoraim, said you can sit there until the end of Shabbos, which means that it's mutter. It's totally mutter. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not pater. Rav Nachman Rav said that if the bird flies into your shirt, you can stay there until the end of Shabbos.
Why does that mean? Why I just learned from that it's mutter?
That's mutter because he said you can stay there until the end of Shabbos.
But if you climb into a tree, right, you also got to stay until the Shabbos, doesn't matter.
It's mutter to stay there until the end of Shabbos.
But it was
usher to go into the tree, but you didn't do anything here. The bird flew into your shirt.
Right.
The only question is whether you have to let it out. The implication. Yeah. The implication from the Mishnah that the Gemara is making is that the guy who sat down second, he should get up. He's not chayav if he doesn't get up. He doesn't have to bring a korban, but he should get up. Yeah. It's pater of a lesser. He should stop trapping that poor animal. That's the implication. So the Gemara says, lo, pater mutter. This is one of those cases where it's not pater of a lesser, where it's actually pater and it's mutter. Hachinami mistabra, and it makes sense to say that midiktani seifa lemadze dome lenol as beis l'shamra v'nimtzashi shamra v'tocho. And you know what? It makes a lot of sense because it compares it to the case of the guy who traps the deer in his house when he locks it for robbers, and michlad de patra mutter, and that we know is mutter. That we know is mutter. So that case must also be mutter. So they're all mutter.
But why would you think there's a chiv to free an animal?
You wouldn't. But it said putter, and putter is a trigger word for putter of alasar.
Yeah, but here it's putter
of putter umutter, both because it makes sense, and also because the end of the Mishnah implies by comparing it to another case, which is mutter, that this one's also mutter. Ika da'amri, this ika da'amri always means that the Gemara is just going to say the same thing, just in a different order or a different language.
When it's trapped, do you have any sense of ownership?
Why does it matter?
Because if it, let's say, belonged to someone else and something happened to it.
Wow. Saying from a perspective of like DNA Mamonos, if something happens to it?
And if you trap it in your house. If you actually release it, is there any issue of taking it out from the
ship? I don't know. You mean you trap somebody else's domesticated animal? I don't know. Good question. What do you say, Andrew?
No.
So Ika D'Amri just comes at it from a different perspective. And you know what? Since we're short on time, let's stop there for the Gemara and go to the sheet. And we'll have to do most of this outside, but this is like real lumbus. You know what we didn't do? Didn't have time to do it. Oh, we're going to do it, actually. That's what we're doing right now. Sorry. Tzeda Bateva. Oh, I see what happened here. Okay. So here's Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch mentions a case. Kol shebemino nitzod chayav alav, ein bemino nitzod pater v'laser. Straight up. This is what we read from the Rambam. Any species which is normally trapped, there's trapping. If it's not normally trapped, there's no trapping. Hilkach, zvuvim, flies, av b'shein bemino nitzod aser l'tzudan. Even though it's not bemino nitzod, which means that you're not chayav midaraisa, it's still aser to trap them. Midarabana, it's aser to trap them. Why does it matter? Who traps flies? So the Ramah jumps in and he says, V'lachein, yesh lizar, shelo lisgor teva ktana, o listom kelim sheb zvuvim bo b'shabbat. You shouldn't close a drawer or a small box if you know that there are flies inside the box.
You can't put a cup over one and...
Right, certainly not.
But you can close it.
What?
You can't close your bin.
What kind of bin?
Rubbish bin.
Yeah, if you knew that there were flies in there.
Can you close your sliding door?
It's a big room. So yes.
So that's big enough?
Yes. Okay. Also, let's do done. The Ramah says, good. Oli stom kelei mishet zvuvim baba Shabbos, or close a container that there's zvuv is in it. David psik reisha sheyatzu dusham. Why? Because even though you're not intending to catch it, it's still a psik reisha. Psik reisha meaning that you're doing it, that you're doing it, that you're doing it. Hold on, that you're doing it. It happens mimela, and it happens.
Like locking your door for going open with a deer inside.
Isn't it like the deer with
a... Hold on. Hold on. It's like cutting a chicken's head off so that you can play soccer with the head.
Oh, exactly.
Which is what they used to do.
Yes.
That's what psik reisha is referring to. You cut off a chicken's head. Psik reisha v'loyomus, you cut off a chicken's head and it doesn't die? Of course it dies. So you're chayav for that. Even though you wanted the head. You didn't want the chicken to die.
But here we have a...
By the way, that's the other reason why people trap things. To play with their heads.
Particularly mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is actually much better than Monty Python.
So the Rama says that you have to be careful. If you see that there are flies in the container, you can't close it. Because even though you're not trying to catch the fly, you are catching the fly. So that's good for Sephardim. But for Ashkenazim, that's not good enough.
I have lots of friends who
are Sephardim. Some of my best friends are Sephardim. But nevertheless,
doesn't work for us.
That's not going to work for you. Because it's a psik reisha d'lo nichalei, psik reisha d'lo nichalei means that, okay, let's take a step back. Psik reisha means that you're doing A, and A is definitely going to lead to B, and B is a malacha. You're trying to do A, that's all you're thinking of. You're just trying to open the fridge, you want to get something from the fridge. The fact that the light goes on is completely ancillary to you opening the door, but it's always going to go on, and you know that. You know it's always going to go on. And turning that light on is a malacha. Now, what if something else happened because you turned on the fridge? What happens? What if opening the fridge flushes the toilet through the electrical circuit?
Well, turns on the motor.
Don't want it to flush the toilet.
Turning on the motor is not what I'm talking about because that is not nilo nichale. It's definitely nichale. But if it was something that nobody's in the bathroom right now, I open the fridge, it automatically flushes the toilet. I'm not interested. I have no interest in flushing the toilet. That would be called a psik reisha. That would be called a psik reisha de lo nichale. And therefore, it should be mutter, but it's not. You know, for Sfaradim, it's pretty much mutter. But for Ashkenazim, we don't have that kula. Psik reisha de lo nichale means that the B that happens, I'm totally uninterested, or even worse, I don't even want it. With the fridge and the light, you can't say that.
It's still awesome.
Therefore, it's still aser. It's still aser. So here, with the fly, even though all I'm trying to do is close the door, I'm catching the fly. So it's a psik reisha.
So if, let's say, one of these fruit flies flies into your fridge.
Right. So the fridge... Okay, good. So you'll notice that the Rama... So you notice that the Rama said tevaktana. Right? He did, right?
Take a bit out your shirt.
No, he doesn't say. Interesting.
Just go shecht off the shop.
Ah, he said tevaktana. Tevaktana because if it's a bigger thing, then even anybody who's tried to catch an insect because their wife is freaking out knows that they're not so easy to catch, right? When they're not in an enclosed space.
Well, a fruit fly, bin is quite big.
How big is it?
It's like a fridge or whatever, so it'd be big.
For the flies are.
And are they easy to catch once they're in a...
No.
So then there's a problem. If they're considered... If you'd call them caught, then that's seda. Then that's catching.
No, but what...
So you've got to get
a big bin or a fridge, right? You still can't catch it in the fridge or...
If it's not easy to catch it even once it's in the fridge, then you could.
Right.
Then you could do it.
Well, it depends who you go by, because if you put the fruit fly in the bin, then it's contained... But you can't get it because the bin's closed. As soon as you open it, it's out.
Ah, excellent. Excellent point. So some of the poskim have pointed out that the fact that when you open it, you're not going to be able to catch it because it's just going to fly out and get away from you.
Yeah.
Right? That could be a mitigating factor.
Yeah.
That could be a mitigating factor. Another mitigating factor,
especially according to Rashi,
You don't have control over. That's a great point. Not many poskim. The next line in the Rama. V'yesh mekilin b'makom shim yiftach ha'kli litlam misham yivrchu. Next line in the Rama. There are those who are mekil If it will fly away the moment you open it, then that's not considered
what
caught.
What if I leave it closed long enough,
you'll kill it.
You'll kill it.
So then that's a problem. Certainly that's a problem.
Disable it.
Certainly that's a problem. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. What happens if I have no idea if there's a fly in there, but there could be a fly in there.
And it's making a funny noise.
I have no idea if there's
a fly,
but there
like
could
the
be.
Deer in the house. That's like a deer locked in the house.
Hold off on the deer in the house. Just a second. The deer in the house is next. Before we get there, I want to talk about this. What happens if you're not sure? There may be a fly in there. You don't know. They're small. You can't see. You always have to be worried that there's a fly in there. Don't you have to always be worried that there's a fly in there?
No.
What if there was a fly in there, but you're not sure if there's a fly in there anymore?
It would be different. If you've got a presumptive status that there's not normally a fly in the future, okay. If you know there's one, or that the last time you checked there was one, then it could be different.
Well, what's the problem? Is it in there and it's closed?
No, it was in there and then you closed it. And you're not sure if it's still there.
Well, what's the problem? You've closed it.
If you're going to kill it, it'll be a problem.
You just caught it.
Yeah. So you've done it.
So you're not allowed to close it.
Yes, but you've done it.
But you don't know it's
there. No. The question is whether you're allowed to close it.
No, but you said you've closed it.
No. I'm asking if you're allowed to close it if you're not sure if there's still bugs in there.
It's open.
It's open. You saw a fly fly in, and now you didn't see a fly out. You don't know if it's in there.
You're saying
you can close it. Well, then we rely on the mate kill that it can escape as soon as you open it.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay. So
this is dead bug time.
Look, your question is it the chance that it's going to be there in any case? Well, it's not. In other words, does it usually go in there every time you open the fridge or not?
There's a good chance that it's in there. Let's say it's 50-50 that the chance that it's in there. That's the issue. So take a look at the B'r Halacha. This is a really a sodistic issue that goes beyond this question. Because this is what's called a Suffolk psikreshet. There's a lot of kinds of psikreshets. It actually gets very confusing when you talk about all of them. Right? This is called the Suffolk psikreshet. What's a Suffolk psikreshet? A Suffolk psikreshet is when you know that if the situation is X, then it's going to happen. But you just don't know if the situation is X. Right? I know that if I forgot to turn the light off in the fridge, then the light's going to go on. I can't remember if I turned off the light before Shabbos. I usually do, but I don't remember turning it off this week. There's about a 50-50 chance whether I turned it off. Can I open the fridge? If I didn't turn it off, it'll turn on.
But if there's any suffix, how can it be a psikreshet?
No, that's the point. It's the suffix is not about... The suffix... Okay, good. So no, the difference between... Let's blow this open.
The suffix is if the psikreshet exists or not.
Let's blow this open. Psikreshet means that there's, let's say... I'm making this number up. Upwards of 80% chance that it's going to happen, right? Anything lower than 80%, let's say, I'm making the number up, is what's called a regular davar sheino miskaven, which means that it could happen, it could not happen, and I'm allowed to do it because I don't intend for it to happen. So for example, if I drag a bench across the grass, right? So there's about a 50% chance that it's going to make a furrow in the ground while I'm dragging the bench across the ground. Can I do that? Yes, because I'm just trying to get the bench to the other side. It's a davar sheino miskaven.
But hold on.
But if I know for a fact that the ground is muddy, it rained, and if I drag this bench across, it's definitely going to make a furrow. Can I drag the bench?
No.
What happens if I don't know what the state of the soil is? I don't know. It could be that it's muddy. It could be that it's not muddy. If it's muddy, it's definitely going to happen. If it's not muddy, then it may not happen. That's called the suffix. It's a question about the metzius. It's a question about the reality of the situation. That's what we have here. We have a question about the reality. Are there flies in there or not? I don't know. If there are, I'm going to catch them. If there aren't, I'm not.
And the suffix is midaraisa here?
The suffix is a suffix.
No, but is the suffix of entrapment? The question here is it a suffix?
No, it's not. It's only midarabanan. Because it's a fly.
So it's
a
okay.
That's certainly a mitigating factor. So take a look at the B'r Halacha. So the B'r Halacha quotes the Taz. And you know what? I'll just say the Taz outside. Basically, the Taz ends up saying that you can. A suffix psikreshet is mutter. He claims the suffix psikreshet is mutter.
Even at 80%?
Even on a Dereisa, he says.
Well, it's 50 times.
He's basically saying if you have a question about the Metzius, then it's fine. Why? By the way, Alpi loved this. Why would you say this? So I'll just say it quickly, but try to say it as clearly as I can. Why is a psikreshet usser? Why is
it's
it?
It's definitely going to happen.
No, but so what? But I'm opening the fridge. The light went on. So what? I didn't need to turn on the light. Why is that a problem? There's two possibilities. One possibility is that the fridge opening and the light turning on, that's all one thing. That's all one thing. You can't say that I opened the fridge and the light turned on. No, I turned on the light. That's called chadamaisa. That means like it's all one. It doesn't matter what my intention was because I did one thing. I did one thing. I turned on the light. That's what I did. The other way is saying that because I know that the light will turn on, it's as though that was my intention.
It must be the second, because otherwise what's the difference between a sikresha and a normal malacha?
What do you mean?
A normal malacha is when you turn the light on, you're not allowed to do it.
Right. So that
sikresha is the second. It's where...
So the difference between sikresha and normal malacha is when I'm doing something other than turning on the...
Exactly.
I'm not turning on the light. I'm opening
exactly.
the fridge.
Exactly.
But the halacha sees it, according to the first version of one action, it sees it as though I turned on the light.
No. But that isn't... What
that's one scheme. No, that is. That's one understanding of what sikresha means. Sikresha means that since there's an inevitable conclusion here.
Some postmen say that.
This what I just described to you in a nutshell is a couple of pages of Rav Chanan Wasserman and Kovetz Shirin.
Okay.
What's the nafkamina?
This case.
Why? Because if sikresha, who wants to do it? If sikresha is about one action,
you know. If in the second case, it's the second case where you know it'll happen. In our case, it's a suffix, so you don't know. So it's not awesome.
Excellent. If it's the second scheme, then it's all about kavana. If sikresha says that since I know that when I do A, B is going to happen, it's as though I intended for B. But here I don't know that. It doesn't matter whether I don't know it because it doesn't always happen, or I don't know it because the situation might be that it's not going to always happen. It doesn't matter why. It shouldn't be a problem. But if it's all about chadamaisa, it's all about one action, then it doesn't matter whether I know that the light's going to turn on or not, or I don't know, or I know whether or not the light was switched off or not. Either way, the opening of the fridge will turn on the light. And it's all one action.
Does anyone say that?
Does anyone say what?
That a sikresha is chadamaisa.
Yeah.
So there are post-tension.
Well, I mean, let's say if I'm right about the chakira that I just said.
Yeah.
Well, Rabbi Kiva Eger disagrees with the Taz. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that safek sikresha is usser. What's his case? His case is totally different. His case has nothing to do with Shabbos. His case has to do with basar b'chalav. It's over here. I'll say it outside. It used to be that people used to travel, from if they were traveling, so they would stop off in an inn, like a hotel, right? And they would do their cooking in the inn, but like with everybody else. So one of the back in the day, a very ghetto way of cooking things was basically you'd go over to the radiator, and you'd put your food on the radiator to heat it up. Let's say you go to a non-Jewish inn, and you want to put your food on the radiator. But you don't know, maybe the last person to put the food on the radiator was a non-Jew, and he put some milk there, and now you're going to put meat, right? Now, you don't know. You don't know what the last person did. Now, the issue here is not about whether or not you're going to eat basar b'chalav. That's its own issue. What's the issue here? Whether you're going to cook basar b'chalav.
Oh, which is a derisa.
Right. Now, all you intended to do was, let me walk back the situation again for a second. It's not talking about you cooking on the radiator, I apologize. It's talking about you turning on the radiator to warm yourself up. But the thing is, you don't know if the previous guy who just left, he used it for cooking, because people did that. Right? In camp, I remember we used to use an iron. Some guys would get FedEx pizza. They'd get FedEx frozen pizza, and then they would use an iron and a piece of tinfoil to cook to heat up the pizza. That's what we used to do. So you don't know. Somebody might have done that right before, right? And now you're going to use the radiator or the iron, right? And you end up actually sikresha, unintentionally cooking basar b'chalav. Now, that wasn't your intention, but it may happen anyways. What's at stake? I don't know what was there before, so it's a suffix. Apparently, enough people did it that it was a legitimate suffix. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, that's a problem. He says, you cannot turn on that radiator. in those situations, you cannot turn on the radiator because you may end up cooking basa b'chalav. Suffolk secretion. No, if you're going to freeze, that's pikuach nefesh.
All right, no, you can just put some detergent.
You can figure something out.
Put some detergent, lavar pagum, and then you can heat it.
It's an interesting point. Yeah, makes sense. I was wondering whether a davar pagum would take care of the cooking aspect, but probably. Okay, so that's the suffolk secretion issue. We ran out of time. Otherwise, we would do. Should we do the deer in a nutshell? The deer case. The deer case is a real big problem.
That's a very small trap.
The deer case is a really big problem.
It's been way too short.
You're right. The deer case is a really big problem. Because at first glance, the deer case is a classic situation. You just locked the door and caught a deer. That's what you did. Now, I know, you were just trying to lock the door to keep the robbers out. But you did it. And the Gemara seems to take it as a davar pashut ad maod, that it's mutter, right. Totally mutter.
Did you know the deer was there?
No. Yes, you did. Otherwise, it would be no issue. It would be misasek. Yeah. No, you knew. You knew the deer was there. Okay. So hold on. So the Rashba says pashut that this is mutter. Why is it mutter? It's mutter because you had a completely separate and mutter intention when you did it.
Same as the fridge.
But you could have chased
same
the deer.
Okay. So the Ran says, what are you talking about? That's every case. That's every case you have a separate intention. So now the Ran has a problem, though, because he thinks that it's completely usur, but he can't explain our Gemara, or the Yerushalmi, by the way, that agrees with our Gemara. So he says, you know what's going on here? It's the answer to Paul's question. It's, you didn't know that there was a deer in there, and the question was whether you have to open the door. Now, go back to the Mishnah.
We know you don't have to free it.
Go back to the Mishnah. Remember when it said, compare the cases? That actually makes sense. Because
yeah.
That actually is a parallel case. Yeah. No, we were missing that piece of information originally. So we were puzzled. What's going on? Why is it talking about a deer? How is that comparable? That's the case. The case is, you, according to the Ran, the case is you lock the deer in the house by accident, and the question is whether or not you have to unlock the door. Like this guy who sat down at the door after the other guy, and the question is whether he has to get up. And the answer is no, he doesn't have to get up, it's mutter.
Okay.
That explains the Gemara beautifully. The problem is the Rashba didn't say that. So everybody tries really hard to explain the Rashba. It's not clear whether or not they're explaining the Rashba because that's halacha, or whether they just want to explain the Rashba. So there are a few different attempts. I'll just go through a couple. There's a famous Shulta Giburim that I brought. It's on the page. Who says that... this one here. Oh, man. Okay. The famous Shulta Giburim, who says that if you have another intention... If the secretion that's happening over here is not ubiquitous. And by that I mean to say these two, the A and B in this case, are not always connected, or at least not consistently connected, then it's okay to do A even if B will happen. So, if I drag a bench across a muddy field, that's always going to end up. There's a logical connection there. There's always going to be the case that it's going to create a furrow in the field, right? If I cut off a chicken's head, it's always going to kill the chicken. Even the fridge, most of the fridges that we have with lights, if they're wired up that way, it will turn on the light. But a deer in the house, most of the time when I open up the door and close the door, I don't trap a deer. Most of the time, that's not what happens, right? So he says, if they are sufficiently logically disconnected, then having intention for one and not for the other breaks the secretion. That's what the Shulta Giburim suggests.
The case you
and
the
others
the
suggest this as well.
Flushes.
What?
Like the case you got open the fridge door and the toilet flushes.
So, yeah. Unless, you know, most of them are wired that way. That's
exactly the point. They're not wired that way, is exactly the point. When you open the fridge, the light is connected. When you cut off the chicken's head, the head is connected. Having a deer in the house, there's no connection between the two.
Exactly.
It could not. But so why?
No, it's not about could happen. The deer may be in the house or it may not be in the house.
Right, but it wasn't built with the house.
That's his point. His point is that The deer in the house case, that's a situation that happens once in a while. There's no logical connection between closing the door and catching the deer. It happens to be that in this case they coincide, but there's no logical connection. So maybe if you would say that side of the Chakira, that there's no Kavana, maybe. Maybe you can make that claim. Another suggestion, a very clever suggestion by Rav Shimon Shkop, he says, it's Dafka Dinin Seida. It's only for Seida. Why? Because Seida, trapping, is one of the malachos, there are a few, that are very totsa'a oriented, result oriented. Right? No, most of the malachos are maisa oriented. You know, you do, let's say, borer, right? You do it and it happens immediately. Like, it's a very active, you do it right now and it happens. Right? So it's action oriented. Bishul, for instance, is not. Why? Because it takes time. You do it now, and then later on it happens. For instance, if I were to put a piece of chicken on an oven, on a stove, right? And then take it off. Did I do bishul? No. Definitely not chayev. Why not? Because the chicken didn't get cooked. But if bishul is about putting chickens on stoves, then I should be chayev. But I'm not. So it's totah oriented, it's result oriented. Trapping is like that. Trapping is not about the act of trapping. It's about the existence of the animal in the enclosure. And what Rav Shimon Shkop suggests is that whenever you have a totza-oriented malacha, kavana matters much more. Because it's all about the purpose. It's all about the goal. And if you don't have intention for the goal, then there's no psikration. It's a big chiddush.
It would be Akiva Eger and the...
It would.
No,
you're right.
Because it's intention-oriented.
Right, it would help make it. It would be Mekel on that, right?
Yeah,
but he's not. Right. The last suggestion, which I like, Rav Shechter quotes the Avnei Nezer. I looked in the Avnei Nezer. He didn't directly say it. I could see where Rav Shechter is getting it from, but I think what he says makes a lot of sense. He says Rav Shechter says he invents a new term, a remote psik reshe. Most psik reshes, almost all, are very yadani. They're very like. Immediate, like you do it and it happens right away and it's connected to you, like you doing it and it happening is right there, right? Opening the fridge, cutting the chicken, dragging the bench, right? And that might be, he says, an essential factor in the psikration, that it's right here and it's happening right now. Closing a door with a deer somewhere in your house is not very yadani. It's not like grama. You didn't touch the deer. It's more, actually, the Avnei Nezer uses the word grama. But I don't know if he means it in the grama sense. I don't know. It could be that he does. But Rav Shechter doesn't. He says grama. He actually used this, by the way, for a big kula, which growing up in Brooklyn, they when I was younger, they had already had the lights that are motion sensors. Motion sensor lights, right? So we all knew, walking home from shul on Shabbos, that at a certain point you had to cross the street. Because this neighbor, right, had a motion sensor light, and if you walked in front of it, it would turn on the light. So Rav Shechter says, you don't have to do that. You don't have to walk across the street. Because it's a remote psik reshe. Yes, it's true. You're walking in front of the door. You're walking in front of it, which causes the light to go on. But you're here. The motion sensor's over there. The light's over there. You have nothing to do with it. It says once that connection is broken. By the way, all the shittos might actually say that when you break down psik reshe.
Once you know that that light's going to come on.
It's opening a door.
What's opening the door?
You're breaking a circuit.
When you walk.
A sensor goes. Somebody else.
When you walk in front. I'm talking about walking in front of the lawn. Walking in front of the house.
But the sensor, it detects that you've gone through, it breaks the circuit, turns the light on.
What do you mean by the sensor? You mean the laser that's shooting? Okay, that's not a door. That's not...
Whether it's a door, it's a laser.
The point is, you know we're near it. It's different to you.
Near it is as a physical thing.
The malacha we're concerned, with here is not the laser being broken. It's the light going on. I'm not concerned about the laser at all.
It's a direct cause and effect.
No. Of course it's a direct... Scientifically, it's a direct cause and effect. Inachinami, of course, I agree, 100%. But it's remote. That's what he's suggesting. It is... What you're doing is here, and what's happening is over there. He suggests the same thing, by the way, when it's intended, that's not going to help. But for instance, when you intend to do it, when you intend to trip the alarm... That's not a psikreshe anymore.
You don't intend to.
Right. I agree. But also the the cameras. He suggests that the cameras are not an issue for somebody who's not intending for it to happen because It's also, you're here, it's happening over there.
The camera could continuously record something and you're not breaking any circuit starting or anything.
You're saying that there's less of an issue with the camera. But he's saying for those who are concerned for camera, he's saying that there's no reason because it's anyways, even if you are concerned, it's a psique ratio that's remote. It's happening. You're over here and it's happening over there. Proximity. Physical proximity, yes.
Even though you know that there's a third thing.
Yes.
Sorry, can you explain
this? This is Rosh Shita about. He says it for a few things, by the way, in terms of wireless things as well.
You got CCTV.
Yes.
First time it's
like. No, some cameras.
Yes.
It's not an obligation to move.
So he doesn't think so. He doesn't think so because he says that there's a physical distance between you and them.
Cameras only record when there's movement.
No, not much.
That applies to anything. So let's say I was walking down a high street.
Otherwise, you have too much data.
And I went past the sensor. Open doors.
Domestic
doors to like
domestic.
Let's say
if you did it by accident,
that you're not going
if you did it by accident, that would be fine.
If you did it
because you wanted to walk through the door, that would not be fine. So, I think we're going to stop for the night.
I have to find a pair of
tickets. Shout off its more corn. Let's kick the button.